Hey everyone, welcome to the Team Flower Podcast. My name's Kelly and we are going to dig right in today. If you're new here, I just want to let you know that we talk about flower discoveries. We have an interview with a special guest. A lot of times that is a floral designer, but we have all kinds of different people from the flower world here. So no matter what you do with flowers, whether you grow, design, create, sell, give flowers, if flowers are a part of your life and you resonate with the mission of loving the world through flowers, this is the right place for you. You have found a family to dream with. So let's dig in. All right. Well, I'm back with the team for Flower Discoveries. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Okay. Today, we are going to have Megan go. She's our conference coordinator. Tell us what you've discovered, Megan.
All righty. Well, this is a little business that was helpful to me last season. Depending on the model of your business and where you're located, it's called the Event Helper, and it might be a good option for you for event liability insurance. So maybe your business model was like mine was, and I don't have year-long events. I would just have one or two bigger ones occasionally. So I didn't need as robust a policy, but I still needed liability coverage. So this company, the Event Helper, they do event-specific coverage, and it saved me some money, and it was really easy. And I should probably stop there because I'm not an insurance agent or familiar with your particular business, but I just wanted to say it was helpful to me when I needed it.
Cool. Awesome. And I would just as another lawyer,
hashtag not sponsored,
right? Hashtag as another person that is not a lawyer and shouldn't be giving out advice, you know, do not take this as lawyer advice. Always double check to see who's underwriting those when you actually get the policy, and that it's certified in your state, because a lot of those, especially kind of one-off insurance companies, and I have seen the Event Helper before, and that is, I think, a reputable company, but there's a lot of insurance resellers out there, and they will take insurance from not so reputable underwriters. I think Event Helper is underwritten by one of the large insurance companies, but it could be an insurance company that doesn't provide insurance in your state and it isn't valid. So just when you do those online, you know, one-off insurance, just always check the fine print, make sure it's valid in your state, and make sure that the underwriter is reputable and well-funded.
Good job, Jesse. Things to check that you wouldn't know to check. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Cause I literally saw one, I was about to do it for something and then it wasn't valid in the state I needed it in. So.
But they were ready to take your money.
Exactly.
I guess. All right. Cool. Interesting. Support company recommendations, I always feel like are helpful. I mean, you know, check them out, see what you think. And, but yeah, there's always lots of problems to solve and it's helpful to have support to do it. Cool. Well, who else has got one? Janine?
I was reading through Florist Review on their, actually just on their website, and I was reading the article about houseplants, because houseplants are hugely popular right now. And in the article, they go into like why that is and all of that, but I'm not going to talk about that because if you want to read it, you can read it on their website. However, what I did find really interesting was that right now the hottest trend is the Japanese, I might mispronounce this, Japanese kokedama, which is actually an ancient art form and a way to display a plant where the root ball is the focal point. So it's not in a pot or sitting on anything. It's just... it's the root ball is with, is it sphagnum? Is that how you say that? Moss?
Mm-hmm.
You've now correctly pronounced two difficult to pronounce things.
Oh, right. yeah.
In one flower.
Yeah. The root ball is wrapped in sphagnum moss and then usually has twine around it, which is, you can hang it outside or inside, and you can also, if you really want to, you can just put it on like a plate or something. But I just found that really interesting because I saw those for the first time at a little shop in Blowing Rock, which is right down the road, and I grabbed one for a friend of mine because I just thought it was so cool. And this was like a year ago, and it's still just alive and kicking and growing, and it's just really neat. And I was like, man, I need to get one of those now, especially if I want to be trendy and be on board with this hottest trend.
That's very cool. I think actually, I feel like the first place I ever saw that was Amanda Liu, Studio Mondine's Instagram. One of our speakers from conference last year, I think that she did like a really cool install with those.
Oh, wow. Oh, that sounds cool.
Has anyone else seen that? Yeah, pretty sure it was her. Don't hold me to it, but she's always got cool, innovative things there. Very good. Okay, well, let's get on to our special guest.
Our special guest today is Jodi Cox from An Affair to Remember. She is located in St. Louis, Missouri, and today she joins Kelly to chat about so many things regarding business and pricing and processes. She has all kinds of knowledge and wisdom to share from her experience with designing and planning, even rentals. And so we are thrilled to have Jodi on the podcast with us today.
Hey, Jodi, it's great to have you on the podcast today. Welcome, welcome.
Oh my gosh, thanks, Kelly. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, I just want to start by saying your work is incredibly beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
And your website is really pretty too. Just so clean and modern.
Thank you.
People talk about trends and like, oh, is it trendy? Whatever. But I think there's so many things that are very classic that they can also be like, I think classic is like a trend forever, right?
It's timeless. Absolutely.
It's a trend forever. It's always so cool. And I love just everything about your website. So lovely and very, very classic.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I know. Well, for us, I've got a lot of colleagues that, you know, they really like one style or another. And as we were kind of thinking about that, it was just like, I really don't want our business to have a style. I want anybody to be confident that they can come to us and say, hey, I want loose and airy. I want tight, you know, pave style roses. I want something that is super boho. I want you to be confident that we can achieve whatever you want. So we don't really have a style. Our style is whatever our clients
want. Yeah, it's lovely. It all has a nice sparkle to it though. You can tell it all comes from you, which is really nice. We're talking from, you're in St. Louis, Missouri today, right? And your business is called An Affair to Remember, abbreviated as AATR. And I have to ask if it has anything to do with the movie. It's my grandma's favorite.
Oh my gosh, it absolutely does. Yes. And it's so nice that you know that, because I think that is a dying breed that people actually associate that with the movie. It's so classic.
Old souls got to stick together. Yeah.
I know. We've been doing it so long that it's like, oh, people know us. So we're not rebranding. We are who we are.
Yeah. No, I love it. It's perfect.
Oh, I love that.
So I've got a few questions that you pulled out that we're going to talk about. The first one is a new thing that you're testing. Tell us about that.
Oh my gosh. Well, for me in particular, I'm always really trying to figure out how to maximize time, because I'm really the only one that sits down with clients and I do the consultations, I do the proposal designs, I build the recipes. So what I'm trying to kind of test right now is we're not really serving this, what I would call is kind of this medium budget client. It's not super low budget where you know that, you know, they need to go to either a retail or like a Sam's Club or like grocery store. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there's just it kind of hits a lower budget price point. And but there's this kind of medium client that I would consider to be like 2,000 to 4,000, where they still want unique high-end design, but you know, they may not quite have the budget for like a big install or anything like that. We have a $4,000 minimum for our design services, and like what that entails is that if you want our team to do the delivery and styling and come and set everything up and then tear it down at the end of the night, we have to have at least a $4,000 commitment. And we do that because we, you know, we send our design staff and we can only do so many weddings on a weekend. It's not like we're just, you know, sending a delivery person. So we really have to, you know, kind of be mindful about that. But there's this market that I think we could really capitalize on and still provide them with something that's really beautiful, that maybe they can come and pick up, you know, that it's not necessarily like we have to kind of burn a team going out to a winery that's an hour away. And how can we kind of service them? So we've done that two different ways. So we built these kind of pre-designed packages called the flower cart, and they can go in and pick, you know, different things. Like we've got a white garden style package, we've got a boho one, and it includes kind of everything that they need. And right now we've been sort of testing that out. And what I think we're going to change to is having them sort of design their own package. I don't know about you guys, but my clients are like really visual. You know, they need to wrap their brain and around everything. And so we have packages, but I have clients that are like, well, I have 8 bridesmaids. What do I do? So I think we're going to change that and see how that sort of shifts things a little bit so that we can, you know, we've already, the great thing about that is that we've already mapped out those recipes. So we know that we're hitting the right profit margin and the right stem count, and, you know, things like that. So we're testing that out. And the other thing I'm really testing out is trying to maximize consultation time. So if you, on our website, if you fill out that inquiry form and you hit on, you know, between 2 and 4 or whatever the budget is, if it's under 4, I'm funneling that consultation to one of my designers as opposed to me doing it. And what I'm seeing is we're doing a phone consultation for that. So we're not sitting down and, you know, having like a 2-hour meeting. So we're doing this phone consultation and then she and I are mapping out quickly. We're just putting estimates in, like the bridal bouquet is going to be this, the centerpieces are going to be that. And then she gets back to them and says, hey, we think you're going to be at this price point. If you are cool with that, like, I'll put together a more detailed proposal and then we'll go, you know, we'll move further on down the process. And so far we're really getting a lot of great feedback with that. And it's really saving us time, which is to me, like the number one issue that I have is time.
Absolutely. You are speaking all of my favorite things. First, the product, knowing what the product is, doing the stem counts in advance, that whole piece, streamlining for specific budget ranges, like that's incredibly important to know. Absolutely. When something goes, you know, down this line for the fully custom thing, when it goes into that like prepackaged piece of it, like huge game exactly. changers for business. Huge. I love that. And then I was going to ask you about the consultations and how that was going to be a little bit different. And you just totally yeah. nailed that one too. All of them. I love it so much. Have you thought at all about, I've just been really curious about having like a build your package online kind of thing. What, like, do you think that that could be helpful? Or do you think that that's like, like we might get our wires crossed a little bit? Like, do you think there's advantages to like having something where they could actually like kind of purchase and pay online? What are your thoughts?
I mean, to me, I think I when we were sort of building that, I was thinking, okay, do we need to have a totally separate branded, you know, name for that and a different site and all of that? But I really think that the clients that are wanting something that's custom aren't even going to pay attention to that. You know, they're going to want to set up a consultation. They're going to gravitate to, you know, if you showcase big installs and doing things like that. So our website, to me, speaks to that client because that's our target market. But then I also want clients that are browsing to go, oh, wait, I can actually, like, I can afford this piece. So let me move through that process. And to be totally honest, the website is not enough because you think sometimes when people fill out your form, you're like, did you even look at my website at all? Like, I don't think anybody reads anymore. You know, they don't really do their research. So there is that whole follow-up piece that when they fill out the inquiry form or they send you an email, you have to almost go, okay, tell me a little bit more, you know, give me some more information, and then let me set you up with the right consultation. And that to me is like that follow-up is huge. It just reinforces, because what I was having before when we didn't have anything listed as far as a minimum was concerned, you know, you'd have to do all that digging after the consult or after the email. And then you were spending all this time going back and forth. And I would have clients that say, oh, well, my budget's two. And then come to find out after we put it together, oh, well, I can actually work with four. So, you know, trying to maximize your time and getting them from inquiry to consultation, to me, it's got to just be an efficient process. Because I don't know about you, Kelly, but like the I could spend all day every day answering emails on my computer.
Yeah.
It's just like taking up my basically my whole life.
Oh, yeah. It's yeah. I know.
It's
yeah.
Crazy.
It's so good that you've got processes in place and have that kind of follow-up piece, you know, thought through, because you're so right. I do feel like that the website piece is the goal is just I think to like capture their information as quickly as possible so that you can be responsible mm-hmm. for the rest of the sales process. Like, I know we need the website to be like a good sales tool, like that first impression, but really it's like what happens beyond that, right. that I feel like is so important, and that like being quick to respond and quick to meet needs. And that's
absolutely. And I think people are really struggling with that because you have to have a team to do that. I mean, my personal assistant is now just answering those inquiries. And I mean, it's practically a full-time job just kind of communicating with those people. So I think if you're a one-man band, you know, that is even more important to be able to say, hey, you know, they filled this out, so I'm going to have this template email and it goes back out. You know, I don't know if you can afford to, you know, not everybody can have kind of a CRM built in, but even if you just do Outlook template emails, that really helps with your process.
100%.
So it's never a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, in addition to so these two different price points that you're streamlining right now, you've got rentals, high-end linens. Okay, so fill us in on what it looks like getting ready for a weekend, you know, with all these different moving pieces in your business.
Oh my gosh. It really goes back to organization and structural planning to us is just absolutely number one. And I think for us, we now have a well-oiled machine and we've built some systems and processes to ensure that each event pretty much goes off without a hitch. That for us really starts about 3 months out. So 3 months out, we do a general check-in and we send an email to our client just says, hey, so excited your wedding's coming up or your event. You know, don't panic because they're usually like 2 to 3 months out having a little panic attack. And so we're just like, somebody will be reaching out to you 5 weeks out to kind of get logistics, final additions, timeline information, that kind of stuff. And then one of our team members sends that email out 5 weeks out, and then 4 weeks out, their final numbers are due because that's when we're kind of ordering flowers. So really about 4 weeks out, we're kind of getting in gear. We order the flowers, and then 3 weeks out, we print. We're basically like printing, posting, and pulling and developing tasks for each event or rental. And then 2 weeks out, we're actually like prepping the hard goods, prepping the rentals, you know, organizing, you know, anything that we need floral wise. And then the week of, we're really kind of that my studio manager is the one that kind of does that. She posts and processes all the flowers. She develops the design schedule boards, the goals for each day. And then we're developing our day of materials that are pretty much their own beast. That includes, so we have this blue folder that we have for each event, and it's got the contract, the recipe breakdowns, the timeline we put together, which has like the client names, drive times, any important information that they might need. And then if it's like, if we have like a centerpiece, one time we had I'm sure you guys have all been putting loose greens around cylinder vases.
Yes.
Like we have lately a lot. And so we had a client that I think had three different styles of that. And they all had different votives and different, you know, cylinder widths and all of that. So if there's something kind of complicated like that, or maybe it's an install or an arch floral or something, we'll print out like a large inspiration picture of that and then list out the recipes just so it's like nice and large so that my team can just go straight to that page and go, boom, this has four, this is the 4-inch cylinder vases and this, these have these votives. So we kind of break down that just so that when they get on site, it's like they're ready to go. And then we do like the rental list for Strike, you know, like if somebody's, I like to have our setup people do Strike as well, just so they know. But if we have different strikers, that way they know, hey, these linens are ours. These are ours. These are not ours. Don't take this. So we are pretty, we have to be pretty organized. And for us, because we do rentals, and we like to pick up last minute stuff. If we aren't ready a total week ahead, that when somebody calls last minute and they're like, oh, we've got this baby shower, we have, you know, we want to rent a million things. I think to me, it gives my team the mental space to go, oh, we can do that. We're ahead of schedule, as opposed to almost like cringing on the phone when someone calls last minute. I don't know if anybody does that, but I think when you get in the heat of it, when someone calls and wants something, they're like, oh, I can't believe they're doing that. To me, that doesn't happen in our office. Like, we can't allow for that because, you know, we have to make money. That's at the end of the day what we're trying to do, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's a good point to know just that preparation in advance allows and frees you up for these kind of spontaneous moments that add to the bottom line and make, yeah, and the referrals and even, I don't know, just things that come off of some of those small jobs and being able to help somebody in a pinch. When you can help somebody in a pinch, the attachment that they have to you is,
oh my gosh,
pretty,
you're so
strong,
right?
So yeah, 100%. Making yourself available to do that is a really important thing for your community and business. I love that concept so much. It's really good.
Absolutely. And we have a really great community here in St. Louis. And so it's like, I want someone to call and say, you know, we've had a lot of venues call and they're like, oh my gosh, we're short this or we need this. We're always going to help you out. Always. Love it.
So good. Well, you'd mentioned about creating recipes, that's something that you like to do with your clients and that consultation process. You want to talk just a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. I use Curate to do our proposals on our recipes. Our consultation process is it's pretty interactive. It's like 2 hours of listening, asking the right questions. Because we have a lot of, you know, we do decor rentals. So we have the linens and all this stuff, you know, in our showroom. Our consultation process is almost kind of a mock-up. So we probably talk for 45 minutes. We go through Pinterest. We have this big touchscreen computer. And then the other half of it is really, I always tell people, I'm like, okay, we're going to jump up. And we throw linens on the table, we mock up centerpieces. And to me, that is really so important to what we provide because they leave going, oh my gosh, you can see the weight that's just been lifted off their shoulders and they leave. It's like trying the dress on, right? Like I always tell people, you know, can you imagine buying your dress without trying it on? You know, it's the same sort of concept because people are so visual. So after we do all that, I take about a half an hour afterwards and I take notes, I save photos, I write down anything that's like really pertinent. And then I use that information for my proposals. And like you said, I stem count ahead of time and it takes me, I will totally admit, it takes me a long time to build a very robust proposal because I am doing a lot of that work up front. But I think it's important to do that because we do a lot of work up front, but then we don't do any of the work. We don't have to redo that closer to the wedding. And I don't have to guess about, you know, how much, like if I just throw in $250 for a bridal bouquet, I know that at the end I'm going to go, shoot, I should have charged $275 for that or whatever it was. As far as the proposal is concerned and building recipes, I always try to maximize overall visual and budget. Because we do rentals, we, you know, it's not unlikely for someone to come in and say, I have a $4,000 budget. And then what we discussed with the decor comes out to 10 plus. So that's something that's scary for a bride to look at, or a groom, you know, a client in general to look at and just go, oh my gosh, that's like overwhelming. So I really try to design to maximize, you know, the look and the color palette and to get across what they're really going for, because it's easy to design with a big budget. You know, I could chalk, throw in tons of ranunculus and little chocolate cosmos and like a bunch of little stuff, a Stilbe, which now is $1 million a stem, you know, like all this fun textural stuff, but, you know, blow out a compote at $300 when there's a lot of people that can't afford to do a $300 compote because they have 25 tables and they want an altar and all that kind of stuff. So to me, I'm always really mindful about the impact, the end result. And sometimes, you know, I don't know if you guys have to do that or not, but I mean, we really just have to maximize the visual impact of each stem. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I think that's an important piece of it. And being able to point out and choose like what a focal point is in each part of the event is a really important part of, I think, too, like helping clients know that what they have is enough, that whatever they bring to the table, like there's a way to use that, because it always feels awful if you're like, oh, I don't have enough. You know, like if you can right. focus what you do have, I feel like oftentimes mm-hmm. you find that, oh, you know, there is enough, or I can switch out one garden rose and I can have two big hydrangea, you know, like.
Exactly. And to me, we also do like the, if we have, I just had a client yesterday that I sat down with that was, typically they don't talk a whole lot about budget in their consultation, but she kept bringing up budget, and it's just like, you know, she's worried about that. And so I said, you know, if we have to change that out, like, I know you want some tall arrangements, but have you considered doing like a harvest table that's in the middle of your room, and we can do three big arrangements there and then like lower cost things on all the guest tables? That way we maximize that impact, right? We make that table really dope, and then everything else is like not as exciting, but that's where you're going to have these beautiful photos. It's your wow factor. So to me, sometimes it's just about, almost like reallocating the strategy of where you're even placing those
100%. I totally agree. And I think that those moments like that harvest table concept can make a huge difference in a space, you know, even if there's not, you know, crazy chandeliers hanging from the ceiling, like there is right. one big, like, you know, moment. Yeah. Statement. One statement, one thing, mm-hmm. you know, that punctuation mark, it's enough. It really is.
You're so true. And I think it's obviously we love what we do and we think flowers and decor are really important, but I mean, it's expensive to plan a wedding. And so to me, I think part of our job as designers is to, you know, maximize their dollars and make it look like they spent more than they did. Because at the end of the day, it's really about two people that love each other that are getting married. And you want that to be beautiful, but it's certainly something you don't want them to be in debt for the rest of their life, you know?
Absolutely. Oh, well, let's kind of transition over and talk a little bit about maybe how you think we can progress as an industry. Like if you had a chance to just kind of like address everyone and say, hey guys, wouldn't it be cool if, what would be your passion point? What's the topic that's on your heart today?
Oh gosh. Business is always sort of forefront, on my mind. And so to me, I think our industry, we're in a tough one because I think, the wedding industry in general, I think it is tough because it's really fun for people. Right. And we still have to remember that it's a job. And, a lot of times we work 24/7 because our heart is in it. You know, most people get into this because they love it. So I think we need to stop discounting our work. And I know that that's kind of an underlining theme that a lot of people are talking about, but I do think it's important to adhere to a floral standard, as far the floral industry standard. It's really in place for a reason. And everybody's market's different, right? It's the, you could be at the 3 to 5 time markup with the 20 to 50% or whatever it is. But to me, I think there, if we can all charge appropriately for our work, it's going to minimize the price shoppers, because they're not going to take your proposal that you spent hours on, go down the street and get a garden rose for the price that you're charging for a standard rose. So I think what I love seeing is that there's a lot of education out there. When I started 10 years ago, there was not really anything like that. And you had to hope to ask other florists, which may not, you know, who may not have been giving you any information. So I kind of had to learn the hard way. So I think it's great that everybody's sharing pricing information, because I think that's going to really elevate our industry.
Yeah. And everybody, I feel like the, like you were saying, like the different market piece, but even within like different business models and the services that are attached to the pieces, and like the level of planning that goes into different types of product pieces, like all of that is so important and key if you're, you know, maybe trying to decide, or maybe you're switching, you're streamlining a different section of your business, to remember that, you know, there might be some switching around that needs to happen, and knowing that like big picture budget for your whole entire business is key. You know, 100%. That pie chart with all the money going in and coming out, and it's like, that is so
it's amazing so how much money we spend.
It is the lovely pie chart, what is left in the last little slice, you know, and figuring out ways, yes, to streamline, to increase that, so that you can invest in your business in different ways and grow it in different ways, so that we can love the world, right, through flowers better and more and all those kinds of things. So I love that.
And so that you're not this job is just way too hard to do it for free. You know what I mean? I think the burnout can be really real. And so if you're not feeding your family and, you know, making sure you have some time to take a vacation or something, then, you know, that it's just not worth it. And I think it on twofold, I hope that we continue in our industry to educate the client about what goes into it, because I think I have some clients that think, oh my gosh, I spent $5,000 in flowers. And it's like, you don't even have any idea about how much money is really left at the end of that after you've paid for regular overhead, the cost of florals, processing, designing, travel, setup people. I mean, it's insane.
Mm-hmm. It is a business where the cost of the goods, that like that, just that raw material cost is high. And then it's a lot of labor. Labor is expensive today as well. So yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And people don't really, I would say catering is just up there, is really right up there with florals. And people don't have, clients don't have the same perception of value when it, I mean, not all clients, obviously some clients really, really value florals, but I would say the average client, it's easier for them to associate cost with their caterer than it is flowers, because people are eating out every day, right? There's a difference between getting a steak at the grocery store and cooking it yourself and getting it at a, you know, a high end steak place. It's still steak at the end of the day.
Right. And it's a very temporary type of object that's here and gone, even faster than flowers.
Oh my gosh. I know. Don't you love it when people say like, they just die. And I say, well, you just pay for your band to play for 4 hours, and you pay for food that's eaten. Like, photography and flowers are the only things that last before, you know, beyond 24
hours. I'm glad that you said that, because when you do really think about it, they last for a much longer time than many of the other things. So
yes. I know. It's silly. People, I think that overall clients, I just find they say those things because they're so worried about spending so much. And I think they come to us and say, well, I don't really want to spend that much. And it's like, let me make you comfortable. Let's not talk about that. You know, let's focus on what you want it to feel like. And so I think that's just a good approach. People just, if they're not buying flowers every day at their florist, you know, they just have this perception that it's going to be insane. And it doesn't have to be if you're maximizing it the way it should be. So
yeah,
that's funny.
Okay. Just for fun, last question, your favorite tunes to listen to whenever you're working.
Oh my gosh. I'm very eclectic. Music to me is like a really big part of our whole, vibe. We have Motown playing for our consultations because everybody like gets down with some Stevie Wonder. That it's like dance in your seat kind of music. I love it. It has such good energy. And then in the studio, it's like whatever we're feeling. Sometimes it's pop, sometimes it's classic rock, sometimes it's Shania Twain, but it's always upbeat. Just to, like,
I love it. I got to really wondering what happened to Shania Twain a few weeks ago. I was like, where is she? I haven't heard her for a while.
I know. I love it. We got stuck on her for like a week and it was just like, oh my gosh, I forgot how great this song
was.
She's
a lot of fun. I love it. Oh, well, thank you so much for being here today, Jody, and for sharing so many good thoughts and just your story, the whole thing. We appreciate so much here at Team Flower, all the work that you do in the world of loving the world through your work with flowers. So thank you so much for you and for your team and everything that you do up there in Missouri.
Oh my gosh, you too. You guys are really just making such an impact in the industry, and I'm so excited to be a small part of what you guys are doing.
Oh, it's really kind. All right. Well, until next time, everybody, thank you for all of those things that you're doing behind the scenes that nobody sees or knows about. Know that you've got a friend here, and we are cheering you on at Team Flower. We'll see you again next week.
Next up, the phrase ideal client. It's quite common in the floral world, but what does that mean? And can every client be your ideal client? Shania is here to answer those questions and tell you how you can make every event design something you enjoy.
Okay, I'm Shania, and this is How to Make Every Floral Client Your Ideal Client. There's a buzz phrase that is plaguing the florist community. It often leaves us burnt out, uninspired, and disappointed in ourselves. You've probably heard, and even used, this buzz phrase to define your business success. Ideal client. An ideal client, as defined by the wedding community, would be a bride who comes to you, who fits an imaginary mold, one set by you. She has an unlimited budget for you to create floral magic in your favorite floral style. While putting your marketing efforts towards this concept is well-intentioned, is chasing down your ideal floral client really ideal for you and your business? And what if it was more beneficial to instead focus on becoming the ideal florist? The truth is, every client can be your ideal client. Start by becoming the ideal floral designer, one that educates, inspires, customizes for, and honors the client. You have a floral design style that only you can replicate. And the Pinterest pictures and inspiration shown by the potential client came from other florists. You have a floral design style that only you can replicate. And the Pinterest pictures and inspiration shown by the potential client come from other florists. Unless your bride says, "I want this exactly," she's coming to you for what you can do. Any client's request can be inspiring, creative, and figure style. 1. Start with client education. Sometimes brides just need to know there are more flowers available besides roses and baby's breath. You are the expert. Educating clients through your website, Instagram, and consultations can help them trust you and learn where you can add value to their vision. After all, they are paying you, aren't they? Educate and inspire them. 2. Customize for every client. Showing clients seasonal textures, unique greenery, different bouquet shapes, and accent flowers is a great way to help them to see the value in adding on to their current inspiration. Providing pictures, or better yet, showing off the flowers in person, can help convince the client to fall in love with their new favorites or ingredients you may want to try. 3. Be confident you are your design style. Remember, those inspiration pictures come from a different florist. That floral designer tailored their creation for a particular vision and married it with their particular style. Only you can create for your style. Have you ever noticed how other florists match their work? We don't always see it in our own work, so ask your friends, family, and fellow florists what they see in your work. Chances are, your personality is secretly infused into your work without you even trying. If a bride comes to you with something you wouldn't typically want to create, don't worry. Your unique style will unfold naturally in your designs. Keep finding inspiration to develop yourself and your flowers, and clients will follow. As you work with unique brides with their visions, your creativity will be stretched and challenged. Isn't the best part of our work learning something new every day? Embrace the opportunity to grow with each client as you make yourself their ideal florist. Instead of wishing for the ideal client fairy to poof magical brides into your inbox. Embrace the opportunity to grow with each client as you make yourself their ideal florist. Instead of wishing for the ideal client fairy to poof magical brides into your inbox.
Thanks for listening. You can find us over at teamflower.org for more resources like this one. And while you're there, check out the Team Flower Conference. That's where we all gather to learn and grow together. It is magic. You are magic. The work that you do with flowers matters. And we are so grateful for you. Keep going. You're doing a good job.